and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. This is a transitional message. Last 4 weeks that we've been preaching on relationships. And next week, Lord willing, I want to start a series on Easter. And the thing that binds relationships and the thing that binds Easter is about forgiveness. And this morning, my message is the debt of forgiveness. And we're looking at Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for an opportunity to come to your church. Lord, I just pray as we read your word and preach your word, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will have full reign. Take all distractions away. Lord, help us, Lord, just to look to you in this time. Lord, just give us grace and peace. Give us your truth and let your truth change us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, there's a choice that I have to make every day of my life. There's a choice that you have to make every day in your life. We could choose to live in the disappointments and heartaches of sin, or we can choose to live in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. We live in a world that believes that certain things can control their lives and can influence their lives. There are people out there that put their confidence in astrology, and they believe that your life is planned by the pattern of the stars, or the positioning of the sun and moon, or the month that you or your spouse was born in. We've been going through Isaiah, and we've been talking about the Chaldeans, and they were big into astrology. There's a lot of people big into astrology today. I bet you there's people in here that probably read their horoscopes. Okay? Nah. If you're letting that drive your life, there's something wrong with that. You know, there are people that they rely on the luck of the draw. They think that every time they go down and buy a lotto ticket, it's going to work. Nah, it's not going to work that way. Or the odds of occurrence of it happening. It's either going to happen or not happen. Or as fate would have it. But the reality of it is, believers in Christ, us that know Jesus Christ as your Savior, know that those things aren't true. We know that God created the stars, but the stars don't control us. God does. Amen. He controls the stars. He controls what happens in our life. He gives us an opportunity to exercise faith in everything. You know, there are really only two things in my life and in your life that can influence how you live or how I live. The first one is the sin in which I am born in. It gives me the sin nature. Psalm chapter 51 verse 5 says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. I was shapen in wrong. I was shapen in sin." And it said, "And in sin did my mother conceive me." Romans chapter 5 says, "For by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned." There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you say, "I don't have a sin nature," you're wrong. Every one of us, from the time we were born, can do wrong. Just look at babies. So I can choose to live in the sin or the sin nature in which I am born in. Or I can choose to live in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21 it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So we have a choice. We have a choice to follow our sin nature, or we have a choice to follow a new nature that Christ alone can give. We need to understand what the Bible teaches, okay? And we need to live in the positive things. See, the fact is this. The habits of sin in our lives can control our lives. That's why Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, he says, "And laying aside what? Every weight and the sin that what? does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race. It's not the pattern of stars. It's the pattern of sin that's in our lives. And we even have those patterns today. You know, if we're honest with ourselves, we all make the what? Same mistakes. We all repeat history. This week I had a privilege of substituting in high school at Angela School. And they were going through U.S. history and we were studying World War I. And I was bringing out the point that all those conditions that brought World War I to be are the same conditions that's right now going on in Eastern Europe today. And it's causing a lot of stress. And a lot of people don't want to repeat that. But I'll tell you what, folks, sin will have its way if people allow it to have it. Satan wants to have it. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. So we need to understand that I am prone to do certain things that I learned to do in my sinful nature. And those things don't go away the moment I get saved. The Holy Spirit comes in, I can control it, but it's who I feed. I can feed my sin nature, or I can feed my spiritual nature. See, when we talk about feeding your spiritual nature, we need to understand some truths, what the Bible teaches us about who we are now in Christ. We need to understand the newness that Christ alone can give. We need to understand the newness of His covenant. Back in the Old Testament, He says, I want to make you a new covenant. We're reading in the New Testament this morning. It's a new covenant brought about by the death of Jesus Christ. He gives an illustration about the new wineskin, talking about the new believer. He says you can't put new wine in old bottles because they'll burst. Because as all that yeast and stuff goes on, it says they'll burst the bottles. So you can't be your old self as a Christian. God's changed you. But we still have the potential to go back to the old ways. If any man is being Christ, he's what? A new creature. Old things passed away. All things become new. Colossians says that we're supposed to put on the new man and put off the old man. There needs to be a change in our life. Christ gives us a new commandment. He gave His disciples a new commandment that you need to what? Love one another. The psalmist says that when we get Christ in our heart, He gives us a what? A new song. In the future, we're going to learn even newer songs. And then we need to live in what the Bible teaches, and that we need to be waiting for a new heaven and a new earth. And if you look at the news today, we are a lot closer to Christ coming back than we were last year.
Amen.
Christ Himself said in Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, and it says, and He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make what? All things new. Let Him make you new today. Let Him make you new today. Amen. And He said unto me, write, for these words are what? True and faithful. All these things that God wants to do in your life, He can, if you allow Him to do it. You know, there was once a time in my life that I didn't like myself. I didn't do the things that I didn't like the things that I was doing and the direction that it was heading. But you know, somebody one day came and told me, amen, that Jesus didn't like the way I was going either. But that He died on the cross to change my way. To change my way. And He took me as I was with all my old habits and all my sin nature. And He says, I love you so much. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He's made me a new creature. And now I have a choice. I have a choice to go back to follow the new way, or I still have the problem of the old nature. You know, have you ever thought that just out of nowhere, the old me can reappear. Things that you thought were in the past all of a sudden come to the forefront. And that just happens. You know, the way we used to be, the way we need, who we used to be, and what we need to do. You know, that's not a pretty sight. That's not a pretty sight. You know, Christ wants to give us new life. He wants us to walk in that new life. Paul talks about the struggle in Romans chapter 7. He says, the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. The things that I want to do, serve Christ, I can't do. I can't find the power to do it. And then he cries out, he says, oh wicked man, oh wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? But he says, I thank God that Jesus Christ did. Amen. So my question this morning is, has God made you new? He can only do that through a relationship with Jesus Christ. He can only do that through salvation. You know, there was a man that was considered to be a prophet of God. He knew God. He spoke with God. He lived under the law of God and the law of Moses. He got a second chance to perform the call given to him. But he did not understand forgiveness. This morning, what makes us a friend of God, what makes God a friend to us, what makes our church go is about forgiveness. Easter's all about forgiveness. And we're going to see this. And you know what happened? This prophet refused to offer forgiveness to a certain group of people who lived in a town called Nineveh. His name was Jonah. And maybe some of us are kind of like Jonah today. We'll forgive who we want to forgive. We'll go where we want to go. We say we're serving God, but in reality, we're not doing what God wants us to do. You know, they would rather have the city, like Jonah, they would rather have the city of Nineveh destroyed than to have to deal with forgiving people. Ouch. Okay? There are people who would rather have judgment come to those who have hurt them than to ever offer them forgiveness. That's not God's plan for our lives. For us to be a church, we need to be Christ-like. We need to have relationships that go beyond the doors here. We need to have unity. We need to have redemptive. We need to look for redemption. We need to have compassion. We need to help. To be a friend, you need to forgive. We need to forgive. So our text this morning, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15, we see the Lord's Prayer. You know, some people just repeat this without looking at the words. Bible says they think they're going to get anywhere. They think they're going to get somewhere because of the repetition of the words. No. It's what comes from the heart. It's out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaketh. God's telling the disciples how to pray. He says, when you pray, follow these principles here. He says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which is art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, folks, when we come into God's presence, he's not the man upstairs. He's a holy God. Amen. The only one that reserves glory. And we need to come into his presence with adoration. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It's all about God and not about me. Don't you want God to rule in your life? Don't you want God to rule in your church? Don't you want God to rule in your city? Don't you want God to rule in your country? Don't you want God to rule in this world? He will one day. In spite of us. In spite of us. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Which means what? Our will needs to agree with His for His will to get done. Give us this day our daily bread so we can be daily dependent upon Him. No, David says, he says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. And lead us not into temptation. The Bible tells me that God tempts no man. It says, but deliver us from evil. You want deliverance today? I hope one of the reasons you came to church today is get deliverance from things. But deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And oh, by the way, he goes on and tells the disciples this. He says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses, and you're no better off than what you were. Let's be honest with ourselves. There are people in our lives that have knowingly hurt us. And we have never forgotten what they've done to us. And we have never forgiven them of what they've done. We can become angry with those things. But you don't understand all those pains that they caused us. What did we do to Christ? What did our sin do to Christ? We keep it as a little secret. We keep it in a closet that only we know that's in there. And we're politically correct and we paint it over so other people don't see it. But deep inside we're hurting. We're hurting because we don't forgive. We read what we find in this passage here. You know, God wants to bring us to a level of responsibility, accountability. He says, you want to serve me, you need to serve others. And you want me to forgive you, you need to forgive others. It's what Easter's all about. It's what friendship is all about. It's what our family is all about. You know, there's some people with pride in the way they don't forgive. You know, some of us expect the person who hurt them to come and apologize. That may not happen. That might be impossible to happen. Some can demand outlandish and ridiculous apologies from the people who have hurt. We want restitution. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. It's our job to be Christ-like. Some people, we've been hurt so bad that we want them to make a public apology. Not just to us, but we want them to announce it to the entire world that they wronged us and that they need to fix it. And we humiliate them. You know, having a lack of forgiveness in your life is basically allowing the sin nature to run in your life. Having a lack of forgiveness basically will hinder one's growth and relationship with the Lord. Christ's will for your life is to be made more like Him, to be conformed to His image. We're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're supposed to prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. We're supposed to be a living sacrifice. And folks, what happens to our lives in our lives affects others around us. It affects our families, and it also affects our church. It also affects our church. So a lack of forgiveness can hinder one's growth. We say we're a Christian, but our words and our actions don't match up. You know, some people live in a fantasy of forgiveness. And the fantasy is this. We sit in the temple and people who have wronged us, you've wronged the great Myers. And you've got to come and you've got to pay penance to me and you've got to come up the steps and come to me in my temple. And then when I think what you're saying is worthy of my forgiveness, I'll give you forgiveness. There's a lot of people like that today. And I hope they're not in the church. Because it'll destroy a church. It's not about you. It's about God. I want to say something a little bit radical this morning. How do I know if I've truly forgiven somebody? Let me tell you something. If you're waiting for an apology for someone, you haven't forgiven them. If you're waiting for someone to come and say, I'm sorry, and that's when forgiveness happens, you haven't forgiven them. Look at all the things that we ask Christ to forgive us of. So this morning we're going to talk about dangers of the lack of forgiveness. And there's six that I want to cover very quickly. The first one in our passage this morning is that if we have a lack of forgiveness in our lives, we can prevent our own deliverance. In verses 14 and 15 of Matthew chapter 6, it says, "For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." You want relationship right with God? Then you better have relationships right this way. If your relationships are right this way with God, then your relationship should be right this way. That's what it's talking about. And it's all about love. See, if we prevent ourselves from having deliverance, our relationship with Christ will stop growing. I want to bring an example of Christ. Christ went to the cross without anyone saying that they were sorry. No one said. Everybody's yelling and all this other stuff. They were cursing him on the cross. They were doing all these things. But then no one said that they were sorry. Some people were kind of getting it. Hey, this truly was the Son of God after he died. But look at the example of Christ. He didn't wait for any apology. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they what? Know not what they do." And see, there's people that we take offense at that don't even know that they've done anything to you. There's people got things against me because I didn't do something that they wanted to do, but I don't know about it. And if that's the way, I forgive you. Okay? Amen. But the issue is this. Christ went to the cross without anyone saying that they were sorry. Forgiveness does not depend upon them. It depends upon us. And how we want to live. We need to forgive before the apology comes. You need to have a mindset. Because what is our ministry? We are ministers of reconciliation. We need to restore relationships. We need to lift up the brokenhearted and give peace to those that are at odds with themselves. So the first danger of not having forgiveness in your life or holding a grudge against someone is that you prevent your own deliverance. Allowed to continue, the second danger is you can become bitter. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, it says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." And it goes on and talks about Esau. How Esau made a mistake, he was mad about that, and he tried to seek repentance, and it's not going to change anything. You know why? Because he just wanted the stuff. He didn't want restoration. There's three things that we need to understand what happens when we become bitter. God's grace fails in a bitter person. God won't work, can't work here. And it says, looking diligently. We need to do this day by day. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. Every one of us in here are capable of doing this. Every one of us in here are capable of being bitter. Every one of us in here are capable of going back to sin nature. Every one of us in here is capable of not forgiving. But we need to understand the consequence of that. God's grace fails in a bitter person. No, James says, with the same mouth we bless God and we curse men. He says these things ought to be. In this verse, the second thing that happens is that bitterness brings on trouble. It says, lest any man, now think, look at this, lest any man fail the grace of God. Because folks, if I fail the grace of God, it's going to have an impact on you. It's going to have an impact on me. It's going to have an impact on my family. It's going to have an impact on my church. And our church has an impact or no impact on our community. If there's bitterness in our church today, we need to get it out. Amen. If there's bitterness in your family today, you need to get it out. You need to get that right. Because bitterness brings on trouble. And the last thing is bitterness defiles. It says, and thereby what? Many. It starts out with one man, and then it talks about a group of you, and then it says many will be defiled. What does defile mean? It means we can't be used of God. So the first danger is we prevent our own deliverance. The second danger is we can become bitter. And if you live in that bitterness, then the third thing is you could become trapped. Paul writes to Galatian church in Galatians 5:1. He says, stand fast therefore in what? In the liberty whereby God has set you free. And be not what? Entangled again in the yoke of bondage. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 26 it says, and they that may recover themselves out of the what? Snare of the devil. You know, if God wants to bring restoration, Satan wants to bring destruction. He wants to bring animosity where God wants to bring unity. See, it says, and they that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are what? Taken captive by him at his will. Folks, I guarantee you, if you're listening to God and you're following the newness of God, you won't be taken captive by him. You either serve God or you don't serve God. It's either for him or not. You're either for me or against me. And see, you'll become trapped and you'll find yourself doing things that are ungodly. So the first thing is we'll prevent our own deliverance. The second thing is we'll become bitter. The third thing is we'll become trapped. The fourth thing is we'll start taking offense at anything. We'll start looking for trouble. Folks, there's a lot of trouble out in the world. We don't need to invent more. We don't need to invent more. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 through 32, it says this, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. This word for grieve means to offend God. You know, when you were in school and there was some big dude, you didn't want to make him your enemy. Why? Because you get pummeled into submission. But yet, we will go and offend God and not even worry about it. Wow! It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. See, what does bitterness do? It grieves the Holy Spirit. What does wrath do? It grieves the Holy Spirit. What does anger do? It grieves the Holy Spirit. What does clamor cause a calamity and an uproar, a riot does? It grieves the Holy Spirit. What about talking somebody about somebody behind their back? It grieves the Holy Spirit. Put away from you with all what? Malice. You know why? Because all those things have a wicked heart in them. And it says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We forget that we were purged from our sins. See, there was the example of King David. David failed. Yeah. He failed with that issue with Bathsheba. Okay? And was living his life in unforgiveness because he didn't ask God to forgive him. Things didn't go very well for him while that was going on. He was miserable. Christian, if you know you're saved and you're doing the wrong thing, it should make you miserable. That's the Holy Spirit's conviction. If you say you're saved and you're not miserable doing your stuff, you're having a good old time, you better check your salvation. Because in Psalm 51, David comes to his senses, just like the prodigal son does, and says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. See, we just can't stay mad at God. If we can't stay mad at God, we shouldn't stay mad at other people. Here's a question to ask. If we are offending the Holy Spirit by our actions, as we see here in verse 31, how on earth will God bless us? How will we experience God's power in our life? How will we see Him work? Your prayers are empty because you've regarded iniquity in heart. The skies are covered over, the heavens are covered over with brass. God won't hear your prayer. God says, I'm waiting for your admission that you're wrong. If we're holding ill will against somebody else, how can God use you? How can God use you? So we could take offense at anything. And anytime we have forgiveness, we can give the devil an opportunity to control us. If you go up a couple of verses in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27, it says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. That word for place is actually a word that says foothold. You give him control of an area of your life. And from that point on, Satan can go and he could go into other areas of your life. There's three things in here. There's a command that we sin not. And if we sin, we need to get that right with God real quick. There's a condition here. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Christ in his Sermon on the Mount says, agree with your adversary quickly, lest he bring you to the judge, and then the judge gives you to the jailer, and you wind up in jail. Resolve your disputes early. Don't go to sleep angry. Get it right to God. Let Him restore you. And then there's a concern. If unforgiveness persists, you're giving ground in your life to Satan. And he's going to take it. You know, when the Allies invaded Europe on D-Day, they had a beachhead. And from that beachhead, what happened? They kept on pouring more and more supplies and more men in there, and then they started going off, and then they liberated all of Europe. In a negative sense, Satan does the same way. We give him a beachhead. We don't do anything to get rid of it. We don't repel it. And then all of a sudden, Satan can get into other areas of your life that you never thought he could go. So we give the devil an opportunity to control us. And then once he has a beachhead or a foothold in your life, it becomes a stronghold. And then we're in trouble. Lastly, we can become insensitive to our sins with lack of forgiveness. In Psalm 36, verse 2, it says, for he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. You know, another word for being insensitive is be hardened. Paul wrote to Timothy and talked about Christians having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That they think they're doing something, having a form of godliness, but they're not denying the power thereof. See, we lose touch with how corrupt we really have become. We no longer see the need for forgiveness. Why? Because why should I waste my time? Everything's going fine for me. Everybody else is doing it. I can do it too. And then when somebody comes up and says, hey, what you're doing is wrong, then we start justifying ourselves. We actually flatter ourselves and provide our own justification for our faults. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, look at this. It says, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother. Now, how can you hate someone if you love them? How can you love them unless you've forgiven them? So if you're hating someone, you haven't forgiven them. It says, he that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness. No, he that hateth his brother is what? Is in darkness. Not will be, is night right now. Is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. See, it is possible that some of the reason why you do not know where we are going in life has to do because of unforgiven sin and unforgiven and lack of forgiveness to other people, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. God won't bless us, we won't get the power, and now we don't know where we're going. You like being like that? I like to know where I'm going. We need to have purpose in our life. And then you know something? If we just let it keep on going and we keep on hardening our heart and not forgiving and not asking for forgiveness, we become just like the lost. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, it says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murder hath eternal life abiding in him. Now talk about losing your salvation. Can't do that. But you could sure act as if you had. What do we need to do? How do we forgive and receive forgiveness? We've kind of seen it in Ephesians chapter 4, but I like to close with this passage. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 13 says this. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. We need to act as if we're holy and beloved. Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, for long suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. I'm not saying it, God is.
Right.
We're supposed to put up with one another.
Yep.
Okay? We're supposed to forgive one another. I'll never forgive him. Then you're not following the scripture.
Right.
If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And Christ wasn't looking for an apology on the cross, and neither should we. We should just do it because it is the right thing to do.
Amen.
You know, in the Bible, there are two methods of redemption in forgiveness. There's the first one that's in the Old Testament. When Israel sinned and they were looking for God's forgiveness, what they did is they brought two goats to the sacrifice. One goat was sacrificed as an offering to God. The other goat was called the scapegoat. And the priest laid his hands on the goat and confessed on him all the sins of Israel, and then sent the goat away outside of the camp to go in the wilderness, and it would never return. So forgiveness means to send the offense away, not to come back. But we want to put a leash on the goat. We want it to come back because we want to hold on to that. It gives us a little bit of power. We want to sit in our shrine and wait for people to come and apologize to us. No. The other one is to release the offense and be released. What does that mean? It means you drop the charge. The prisoner is set free. he's allowed to. It's basically the same concept as a prisoner being set free out of a prison. Okay. We need to know what God's released us from, so we can release others. We need to understand what God has taken out of our lives and sent it away, so we can do that to others. We need to forgive and be forgiven. Has Christ forgiven you of your sins? If you die right now, would you go to heaven? Is that something you say you're still working on? You say you're still working on it, you don't know it for sure, then you need to get saved. You need to ask Jesus to forgive you your sins by taking them on His cross. And say, come and save my life. I believe that you're Son of God, that you died on the cross for my sins, that you were buried and you rose again the third day. But what about it, Christian? If you allow these things to happen, you don't get deliverance. You become bitter. You become trapped. We take offense at anything. We become insensitive to our sin. And then we let Satan have control in areas of our life. Oh, if that's happening to you today, get that right. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I ask to be with this time of invitation, Father. Just search our hearts. See if there's any wicked way in us, Lord, and cleanse us. Lord, have your Holy Spirit have full reign in us today and in this place. We give you this because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.